So one of the things that we try to do as teachers in passing on the Dharma, the Buddhist teachings, is to be clear in our teaching and to be able to clear up misconceptions that people may have about the teaching. When I first came to this practice, there was a lot of people talking about acceptance. A lot of teachers talked about acceptance. And I didn't really understand, and perhaps some of those teachers didn't also, but I didn't understand this concept of acceptance. So I had wrong views about it. And you know, I remember teachers saying, you know, you have to develop acceptance. You have to accept the way things are in the world. You have to accept the way things are in your life. You have to accept, you know, the people in your life and the way that you are. And you have to accept, you know, your job and the way that it is. You know, and for me, that was, you know, something that it seemed like I was meant to do, or I needed to do, was to accept my job. I had a job that I didn't like, and I really was a little afraid when I heard this about this notion of acceptance, because you know what I thought was, well, if all I'm asked to do is to accept this job or accept the way things are in my life that are difficult and unpleasant, that I would never be able to make any changes in my life. And this is something that people think about a lot when they come to the practice. They hear about acceptance and they think that it means, and again, sometimes it gets taught this way, they think that it means that you're just meant to accept that the way things are and that's the way that they're going to be. And you know, what we're asked to do is just to be okay with that. That what that means is to sort of have a passive approach in terms of being able to, or making an effort to make any changes. A lot of times people come to the practice and there's things in there, because there's things in their life that you want to change, and then they hear, well, you need to accept that the way things are. But there's things that I want to change. What do you mean accept them? So it's important to understand what the Buddha means by acceptance. Acceptance is actually a function of equanimity. Acceptance is a function of equanimity. So when we develop equanimity, or this quality, you know, we have this quality of equanimity. It's part of what we have, our capability as human beings, and what we're asked to do is to develop this quality of equanimity. And you know, as we develop this quality of equanimity, we're able to relate to the things in our lives that we may find disagreeable with what we sometimes call space. You know, we're able to be with the things the way they are that are disagreeable without being thrown by their disagreeable nature, without going into states of aversion, without reacting to the disagreeable aspect of the way things are. You know, and I certainly wasn't able to do that with my job. I hated it, you know, and that's not equanimity. You know? Equanimity is also, of course, when things are quite agreeable, that we don't get caught up in that too. So that we're able to, so when we have equanimity, we, you know, as the Buddha said, we don't chase after the agreeable and rebel against. So really acceptance means not rebelling against what is disagreeable. And what it means really is that we're able to be present with our experience, agreeable or disagreeable. If it's the experience of the body, sickness, aging, death, separation, if it's the hardships and difficulties in life, the people that are difficult, we're able to stay present. You know, well, what does it mean to stay present? It means, first of all, we aren't in thought worlds. You know, the thought worlds, you know, I hate this job, the narratives about the job that you hate or the person that you don't like or what's happening with your body. So we're not in thought worlds and we're in the body. We're in the body. And of course, what we seek to do as part of the process of developing the concentration factor of equanimity is develop a pleasant abiding in the body. So once we're able to not go into the narratives about the things that we find disagreeable, and that's really what acceptance is, and have equanimity and stay grounded and centered in the body. This ability to stay with things, stay centered regardless of what's happening. It's like, you know, a noise outside the window. You know, it's like I said in the guided meditation, stay with the breath. Stay with the breath. Maybe there's a disagreeable noise outside the window or something else that's disagreeable. Can you stay with the breath and not go into some story about the noise? I mean, I couldn't do that. And part of the problem was I was taught, well, go to the noise, you know, which is really not what the Buddha teaches. So, you know, we learn to develop this skill. All right, I can just stay with the breath. The noise is disagreeable. My job is disagreeable. I can stay with the breath. I can stay in the body. And then if I can stay in the body, I can be connected to the heart. So that's how we connect to the heart, out of the narrative. So if you're in the narrative pertaining to what's disagreeable, if it's your job or a person in your life or the election, you know, that kind of a thing. You know, we want to be able to stay present in the body so that we can be in the heart, so that we can act from the heart. We can act from the heart. So acceptance is, in the Buddha's teaching, you know, this quality of equanimity that enables us to stay present and in the body when things are difficult, and to be connected to the heart so that we can take action that's coming out of love and compassion, which of course is our greatest strength, and it's the greatest happiness too, to take action out of love and compassion. So this is, so actually the practice of the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching, is a practice of developing a skill so that you're able to take action, so that you're able to take skillful action, so that you're able to take action from the heart, from a place of love and compassion. You know, so the Buddha's teaching enables you to accept or have equanimity with the way things are so that you can take action. And because we're able to take action from the heart, you know, we're able to take very strong action. You know, when we come from the heart, you know, that's our greatest strength. You know, and we see that. You know, it's like when we really understand that we're coming from the heart. You know, in many ways, it's easy to act. You know, like the big decisions I've had to make in my life, the risks. You know, when I was coming right from the heart, you know, people say, oh, that was, how did you quit your job? You know, because I did quit my job and do what you did. Oh, that's so, you know, how did you do that? That was easy. You know, that was easy because I was coming from the heart. Or how did you take on what you're taking on? You know, and, you know, living in a way in which, you know, it's very uncertain, you know, whether or not you can live and support yourself. I mean, most meditation teachers don't do that. You know, it's like, that's easy. It was easy because I was coming from the heart. It was like, it was the easiest thing I ever had to do. And it was the surest thing and the most confident thing. So this is a practice about taking strong action from the heart, true action. You know, I mean, this is a warrior practice. The Buddha was a warrior. The Buddha gave up his princely luxuries. You know, he gave up all these things that he had and went and tried to find a way of happiness that he didn't even know existed. That's not somebody who's passive. The teachers who passed on and this the Thai forest tradition, the Thai Ajahns, who were so influential in Thailand and then in the world in the 20th century, you know, most of them were peasants. You know, they probably really didn't like their jobs, you know. They had disagreeable jobs, you know, they were peasants, they became monks. You know, then when they became monks, and think, you know, most of them were illiterate, you know, and then they became monks, and when they became monks, they started to look at, you know, the system of Buddhism in Thailand, which was very bureaucratic, and they said, this isn't what the Buddha taught. And they left the comfort of that system and went to the forest and rebuilt and inevitably passed on the Thai forest tradition. That's really what this practice is all about, you know. This is the tradition that we follow in. You know, they said, wow, this seems like a bureaucracy. This really isn't what the Buddha was teaching. You know, let's really break with what they're doing here. Just the opposite of being passive, right? Just the opposite of being passive. My teacher, when he was here a couple of years ago, who's a monk in the Thai tradition, he spent 2 days talking about the Thai forest tradition and how those Ajahns, like Ajahn Lee, passed on the forest tradition. So, To clear up this misconception that if you meditate, if you practice meditation, it's going to lead to you being passive and just accepting the way things are without making changes in your life and taking action. Now, that's important for people to know who are concerned because they want to take action. It's also important for people to know who don't want to take action. And I think that's probably the bigger concern. You know? Because, you know, because we don't understand, and perhaps because that's what we want to do, we can use the practice as a way of developing some acceptance, if you will, with the things in life that are unpleasant, and as a way, you know, and then not understanding what acceptance is, using the skills of meditation as a way of insulating ourselves from the things that are disagreeable. Tom Wolfe talked about that in The Bonfire, the vanities, you know, insulate, you know, the rich guys on Park Avenue, insulate against the poverty in the city, you know? So we use meditation that way, you know, as a way of sort of developing an okayness with the things in our life that are either unpleasant or are an expression of our passivity or our lack of effort in making and taking action and taking risks. You know? So, you know, it goes both ways, right? It goes both ways. You know, we can develop the skill of meditation sort of in the service of alleviate, you know, so that we have the skill so it alleviates the stress that we have about the things that are difficult or unpleasant, or the stress that we have about the things in our life that we're not doing. you know, the practice is a practice of coming out of the narratives about our lives and about the world and into the body and into the heart, and being connected to our resolve to find a greater happiness in life, to take action that comes out of love and compassion. I mean, that's the path, that's the Buddha's path. That's what the Buddha was concerned with. He resolved, he made a resolve. You know, he was a prince and he made a resolve that, you know, I'm gonna seek a greater happiness. And he asked the question, you know, is there a greater happiness than this happiness that I have, you know, living, you know, in these very luxurious conditions? Is there a greater happiness? Can I find a greater happiness? So, you know, this is our, that you can use this practice, or you can meditate in the surface of alleviating your stress about the things that are unpleasant, or you can use this practice as a way of finding a greater happiness in life. And that's really what the practice, or that's what I would encourage you, or that's, you know, what we try to teach, that's what we teach. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You know, to live in this resolve to find a greater happiness, to live from the heart. So we resolve to live from the heart, to fulfill our wish to be happy, to take action that's in support of fulfilling our wish to be happy. You know, so what is that? You know, what is that? You know, well, that's something you have to find out for yourself. That's something you have to find out for yourself. Certainly when I was kind of going through this question about acceptance with my job more than 25 years ago, the last thing in my mind was that I was going to start a meditation center, New York Insight Meditation Center, that I was going to leave my job and do this crazy thing that people said nobody can start a meditation center in New York. I had, you know, certainly the last thing in my mind was that I was going to be a meditation teacher. I didn't know, but I said, you know, I'm not following, you know, my heart. I want to do that, and I need to find out what that is. So I resolved, this is what we're asked to do, is to resolve to take action that's in support of our wish to be happy. So, just like the Buddha, you know, it's like that teacher who said, I think it was Manindra, the Burmese teacher, who said, you know, the Buddha's practice solved the Buddha's problem. You know, now you've got to solve your problem. You know, or you've got to find what your path is. So it really begins with asking that question, just the way the Buddha began, you know, to live in that question, you know, what is my resolve? What is a greater happiness for me? What is my path? You know, I resolve to find a greater happiness in my life. Well, what is that? What is that? This is where it starts, right? The Buddha had no idea what he was going to find. I mean, he went for 6 years and studied with teachers who completely took him off the track. 6 years, you know? And then he realized, you know what, this isn't, you know, they were good teachers, they were the best. He said, you know what, this isn't doing it, I'm gonna go find my own. You know? I mean, that's what this practice is all about. He wasn't, well, I'm probably one of the greatest adepts in India, you know? No, he didn't accept that. He hadn't found his happiness, his path. But it all starts with, you know, making a resolve. You know, the practice starts with making a resolve. the path really starts with right action, you know? It's like my actions are what determine my happiness. That's right understanding. And then right resolve, you know, I resolve to take action that's in support of the heart. I resolve to take action that's in support of my wish to be happy. What is that? What is a greater happiness? What is a greater happiness? You know, I mean, I think part of our problem is that we don't make that resolve and we don't ask those questions. And I mean that, you know, I mean that's another whole area of self-reflection. You know, why am I not asking those questions, or can I ask those questions? You know, because then, you know, if you start asking those questions, then you start to engender a responsibility to do what you need to do to be happy. Yeah. What's that? The quote from Delmore Schwartz, in dreams begin responsibilities. Yeah. So I think in a lot of ways the problem is that we don't ask the questions. You know, this is a path of asking questions. The Buddha said that's the mark of a wise person. So can we ask these questions? You know, what's my resolve? What do I need to do? What's my path? What direction do I need to go on in? What actions do I need to take so that I find a greater happiness, so that I can live in support of my wish to be happy, not in support of making money and making people happy and doing what the society says, da-da-da-da-da. Or not in support of, maybe this is more germane, you know, taking the easy way so that I'm secure in a very insecure world, right? So this is our practice, to live in these questions and to keep practicing, to keep developing meditation, to be able to come out of those narratives, to be able to cultivate the silence, you know, to be in the body, in the heart, and in the silence, the path will reveal itself. The path will reveal itself. What you need to do in order to be happy will reveal itself. You already know it. It's just a matter of finding out what it is. That's why we practice meditation. That's why we cultivate the silence. So in the silence, we can hear. We can hear the voice of the heart. We can hear what our heart tells us. And from there, we can take action. So let's just close our eyes for a minute.